Okay, good morning, all you strong working members in Johannesburg. This is not an easy mesechta, but boy, is it chock full of the most interesting things. So we started off with an innocent-sounding Mishnah about Beitza Shanolda B'yomtav Machlokas B'Shamay B'Shillel. We found ourselves in a maelstrom of all types of issues. Our first approach in understanding this Mishnah was that Beishamay and Beitilel are arguing. Our first approach is Renatman's approach. He says that the Machlokas here is about a tarnagolet that has been set aside to be used for laying eggs or hatching. And therefore, we enter into a problem of Muktzah. The assumption is that Muktzah and Neulad are really the same thing, and that the Machlokas Beishamay Beitilel over here is whether Neulad and Muktzah are Asar on Yontif, which is really a Machlokas later between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, generally speaking, we identify Rabbi Yehuda as the one who says always that Muktzah is Asar, and Rabbi Shimon is the one who says always Muktzah is Mutter. Now, of course, there are very, very many special situations of different types of Muktzah, and it turns out that even according to Rabbi Shimon, there's lots of Muktzah, as we know today, that there's lots of Muktzah, despite the fact that we follow Rabbi Shimon. So that it turns out that the Tana, when it comes to Yontif, is basically Machmer. Rebbe ended up being Machmer because Yontif is kal in people's eyes since they could do malach on it. And there's no Isser Zochi of Kara, so therefore he's Machmer Muktzah. So it comes along Pesilo, he's Machmer Muktzah, and he says that you cannot eat a Beitza Shanolda. And the truth is you cannot eat the Tarnagolet either because the Tarnagolet is Muktzah. The second approach we had was Rabba's approach. Rabba says, we're talking over here indeed about a Tarnagolet that was not set aside. It's not Muktzah in and of itself. The Tarnagolet itself was supposed to be usable for eating if we had checked it. The issue over here was a completely different one, the din of Hachana, namely that everything that is eaten on a Shabbos or a Yontif has to be prepared verbally and physically, where that's the issue, such as here, on a whole day. You cannot use a Shabbos to prepare for Yontif, you cannot use a Yontif to prepare for Shabbos. We're talking about over here, essentially, a case where the Yontif came out after Shabbos, but what goes are all Yom Tovim because of the Yontif that comes out after Shabbos. And therefore, Beis Hillel says, high holding of Hachona, as Rabba says, from the Pasuk, V'hoya b'yom ha'shishi, v'achinu tz'sheyaviyu with the man, tell you, therefore, that any egg that is laid today had to have gone through its completion process the day before, and therefore the day before being Shabbos, or Exerev Shabbos, is going to ask for the use of the egg the next day, because it wasn't Mucha. Then we had two other approaches that were very similar. Rabbi Yosef says, question over here is not because of Mukta, it's because of Exera of Perot HaNoshrim. Perot HaNoshrim means the same time that we were gozer on fruit, fall down on by themselves on Shabbos. We made Exera, maybe you'll go up and you'll pick them, even though obviously you can't do that on an egg, but the similarity of a fruit falling off of a tree was a general halakha at the time that they made the gzeira. All things that were previously attached and now have become available on Shabbos Yontif are considered to be usur, because we're afraid you're going to, in the case of the peros, because we're afraid, but overall the gzeira takes place. Rabbi Yitzchak says something very similar. Indeed, we're not talking about muktzah. However, since there is a gzeira about fruits that have leaked liquids, and those liquids were afraid to allow you to use them on Shabbos Yontif because you may squeeze the fruits. An egg is similar to liquids that have oozed out on Shabbos. Okay, then, now of course I'm leaving out a lot of the, you know, back and forth, small issues and so on. And we had another shot, and that was the question of whether a suffix or a taruvas of such a Beitz is going to be usher. And that led to a little bit of a problem, because it did say in the Braisa that a Beitza Shanolda and is Aser, can't even carry it, and then it goes out to say that if it's a Suffolk, it's Aser. So if there's a Suffolk about such an egg, or if it falls into another thousand eggs, let's say, it says over here the Suffolk is Aser and the Tarmuvus is Aser, which seems to indicate that we're talking about a Diraisa, because that Suffolk drop on, and why the heck would we be Machmir? And that's a problem, according to Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef's Pshat. Okay, now this led us into, and this is where we're holding now, which we're going into the details of, but this led us into a little bit of a detour, because one approach of getting out of the problem, since according to Ravina and according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak, clearly the issue here is only a drabbanan, and it's a sort of far-fetched one at that, why we would be machmir. One approach was that we're talking about over here of a suffix, not of a beit shenol to be yontav, but a suffix treifa. And that explains why it is that we're machmir on the suffix. However, that led us to another problem. Because if it's a Suffolk Trefa, then we don't understand why a Suffolk Trefa won't be Bottle, you see. Because first we thought that the reason that the Breita said that if the egg gets mixed up in another 1,000 eggs, it's still going to be Usser, which sounds crazy, is because we were dealing, indeed, with a Beit HaShinol DeBeyontiv. Now, what's unique about a Beit HaShinol DeBeyontiv, even though it's not necessarily so chomer, is that all you got to do is wait a couple hours till tomorrow, and then it's going to be completely mutter. So why should we rely on Bittel? Why don't we just wait around and have it mutter completely? That's called Dovash Yishol Matirin. But you just said that the Beit that we're referring to over here is not a Beit HaShinol DeBeyontiv. It's actually a Suffolk Trefa. So why in the world would a Beit that's a Trefa not be able to be bottled in a mixture? Now, this led to a further detour, because there are, in fact, shitas that hold that anything that is countable, that is sold by count, and a base is sold by count, is indeed not bottled, because it's kosher. If anything that has its own unique identity is not going to be bottled. The problem is that that was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. So it would all be very nice if we were sure that the halakha was indeed that even something which is counted at times is considered to be chashev. But the problem is, how about if you don't hold that way? How about if you hold like shitas that say that only something which is always counted, that is is according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's all very nice, so I think I might have reversed it, for according to Rish Lakish, it works out fine. So this is something that's counted at times. According to Rabbi Yochanan, only something that's always counted. And how in the world are they going to learn now Aliba, this Shita, if we're Beit HaStrefa, it's not Choshev, it's not a Davish Yishol Matirin, why would it not be Bottle? Okay, to which the Gemara said the reason it's not Bottle may be because this has nothing to do with the Machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. This is another Tana. This is the Tana who holds that anything which is countable, and even if it's not always sold or normally sold, but it's something which I can identify and count, such as a case where I squashed figs into the top of a container. Clearly it's not a separate item, but nonetheless I'm able to count the number of containers. Even if you've got 1,000 containers, it's not going to be bottle. The only way it's bottle is if you cannot identify the place in the container where it was, so then it's bottle like everything else. Okay, there is such a shita, and that would explain why we could be talking about a basic trefa, and there wouldn't be a problem, according to either Rabbi Yosef or Old, it's only Drabonon, because indeed even a Drabonon will not be bottle if it's something sheyesh bo minyan, something that can be identified by count. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's approach in Rabbi Yoshua, in the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, about how to understand the Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, and that was one very complicated way of getting out of the problem about Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak's claim that we're dealing with Beit HaShinoda only as it is Drabonon. Okay, we're now holding on Dalet, Omen Aleph, and we have a new approach. New approach to the problem, the last problem, of why we could be talking about, indeed, not a Beitza, that's a Trefa, indeed about a Beitza that was an older Beyontav, indeed a Beitza that's an older Beyontav, which is only an Issa Rabbanon, and nonetheless, a Suffolk, even though normally a Suffolk Rabbanon is a Chumra, in this case a Suffolk Rabbanon would be, strangely enough, in this case, the Suffolk Rabbanon would be L'chumra. And why is that? We're holding now about one-third of the way down Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi Amar, I've got a new approach. Let's go back the way we had it originally. It is indeed an egg. We don't know whether, when it said Suffolk is Utzer, it means the Suffolk is over years, whether it was laid on Yontav or whether it was laid Bechol before Yontav. And why would we be Machmer on a Suffolk Rabbanon? Because in exactly the same way that you recognize that we should be machmer when there's a mixture, even of a derabbanan, and because of a davar sheyesh lo matirin, so too we will be machmer on a suffik if yesh lo matirin. There's some shitas, by the way, in the Achronim, that say that the only time we would do that is not when there's a suffik in a din. That remains the same. A suffik in a din, na lochi as you go to kula. But rather a suffik in identification, a suffik in reality. And there you can't say we have a general rule of how to define the halacha. We don't have a general law to find the halacha, we're finding the case. So since in this case, we don't know when this egg was laid, let us wait until tomorrow, and it'll be kosher for sure. Why get into the problem? Therefore, it says, Rav Ashi Liolam, Safek Yontav, Safek Chol. Nonetheless, we're machmer, because it's davar sheyesh lo matirin. V'chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, afil b'drabonon lo patio. Therefore, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak both hold that there's only exer d'rabonon, a bet shenol d'biyontav, either because peres a nation, or because of mashkin shezavu. nonetheless will be marked in a suffix where we don't know when it was born, and I'll tell you better than being marked in a suffix, let's wait till tomorrow, and therefore we now have no problem whatever with the brighter that we used to ask on, and we don't need to get into the whole question of kol shadaka limonis, es shadaka limonis, kol davar sheyesh bo minyan, litra ketzias, or anything like it. So we can just go back to simplicity. Tanya. Now we introduce a new brisa. There are others. We know the is the Rabbi Meir, according to the Gemara. Now what Rabbi Eliezer holds is that the beitza te'akev hivi'ima. What's the big deal about a beitza shenolda v'yantav? Eat the egg together with the chicken. What is that supposed to be, says the Gemara? But I ask you. What we're talking about a bird that is meant to be eaten. Okay, I mean, so I understand. If you're telling me that Talak is like Pishamai, so I understand. If you hold the Beitz as Mutter, obviously the bird is Mutter. I mean, what's if Nailan is Mutter, obviously the mother is Mutter. So you're not saying anything. Then obviously she and the egg and the mother would be okay. Hello. So what are we talking about? Where it was a chicken that was meant for hatching. So then, Ivima Asura, and that isn't even halacha, because the Rebbe Eliezer elsewhere says beferish that he holds a muksa. That if you haven't defined it as such something usable on Shabbos, forget it. So then this doesn't seem to make sense. Rebbe Zera, no, what it means is teachel agav ima. This means that there are times when you can eat the egg only by defining the status of the mother. That's what it means. How does that work? In other words, where the mother can be eaten, then the egg can be eaten. But if not, not. Hey, dummy, well, where is there such a thing that the status of the bird is left open, and only then, when it's defined, is the egg's status determined? So in this case, the chicken definitely came first. The case over here is, you bought the bird without defining whether what it is you were going to use it for. You were thinking maybe to use it to lay eggs or maybe to shecht it. And what happens is, therefore, nishchata, if on Yantav you ended up shechting this tarnagolet, then that you've just made it clear what you're going to do with it. Because you were leaving it open to see what you would need. Okay, ended up you needed it, so now know that the beitz is also mutter. Since it is mutter, the beitz is mutter. And clearly is not mukta because its final status was left open. Whereas if indeed it was not shechted, if you didn't need to shecht the tarnagolet, that meant that all along it was going to be used for laying eggs, and therefore you cannot eat the egg either. Rav Mori Omar. Rav Mori has a different approach. The brisa that he holds is definitely talking about a tarnagolet that is meant to be eaten. And that Rebbe Eliezer is coming over here to argue on Beis Hillel and to say that indeed the Peitzah Shenolda B'Yomtev is mutter to eat, and there was really no point in mentioning a tarnagolet except just stating his case in a very powerful way. It's just a figure of speech. It's a guzma katani. Instead of saying, yeah, it's mutter to eat a Peitzah Shenolda B'Yomtev, it's saying, hey, buddy, eat the chicken and the egg. What's the problem? Netanya, okay, remember, I'll prove it to you that this is just a figure of speech, because others say that what Rebbe Eliezer said was, Beitzah te'achel, hi v'ima, ve'efroach v'klipato. Eat the egg together with its mother, and eat the chick and the egg shell. Now, what in the world is the egg shell? My klipato, let me klipama, what we're talking about, eating the egg shell. Klipaba t'achila, you understand, you can't even eat an egg shell, it's not edible. Ella, so what are you going to say that it means? Eat the chick while it's still inside the egg? That's, everybody agrees that that's treif. You're not allowed to eat that. Atkan lo pligra, but not Rabbi Yezmer Yaakov. We're going to see a little bit later in the Masechta that there's a machlokas about chicks before they've opened their eyes and reached a stage where they're clearly viable, whether they're just considered to be shratzim, basically. Okay, but nobody holds. The only machlokas over there is Echad Yatzel Avir Ayla, after a chick is hatched. So then you have a question. It hasn't yet opened its eyes. It's still embryonic. If it's still inside of the egg, everybody agrees, heck, we won't even eat an egg, a blood spot. We're certainly going to eat a little chick inside of an egg. So there's definitely us. Ella, so what's the meaning of eat the chick and the eggshell? Is that you're just saying, hey man, eat up. I don't care what you eat. Eat the mother, eat the egg shell, eat the chick, do whatever you want. That's all that he's trying to say. He's just saying, Guzma, you want to eat the egg shell, eat the egg shell. There's no problems here. Obviously, the egg shell's not edible. So if that's the case, okay, now, I mean, this bright as well, when all it says is Te'achel Yivi'ima, what it means is a Lashon Guzma. It's certainly not coming necessarily to give me a particular halakha that I wouldn't have known otherwise. If I know I can eat the egg, of course I can eat the mother. Ne'ilat is certainly more chomer than just the question of Muktzin. Now we have another interesting question. And the question is like this. Suppose you have a Yontav and a Shabbos that are up against each other for a Shabbos and Yontav, vice versa. And now the Beitza that was Noda on the first day, does it remain Usser on the second day? I mean, because look, over here, the Beitza, I mean, depending on what the issue is, but if we're talking about the problem of Muktzah, there's always a chance that we would view two long days, both of them as being Usser, is essentially one long Muktzah. It's one way of looking at it. Obviously, we look at it if the only problem is Achon and Rava, then there's all a different question, which is, if the egg was prepared on the day before, then if that's the case, the day before was only a Gezerah, but it was actually Yom Chol, but by the second day, it's basically an egg that was done the Yom Chol for the next day, 2 days later. Where it goes in that case? So let's take a look now at this inside. Shabbat v'yom tov. Let's say I have Shabbos and Yom Tov right next to each other. Rav Amar Noda Bezeh Asura Bezeh. An egg that was hatched, that was laid better. On the first day, it's Asur. Also on the second day, was Rabbi Yochanan Amar Noda Bezeh Muter Bezeh. No. If it was Noda on the first day, it's Muter on the second day. Now the Gemara's first assumption is, Neima Kasavar Rav, shall we say, that Rav Shita is that 2 days of Kedusha basically have the same din. Kedusha Achat, we look at it as one long Muktzah. So he couldn't eat it the first day, can't eat it the second day. The problem is, we know Rav doesn't hold that. Because Amar Rav, halacha ki arba azakinim alibit Rabbi Eliezer. Their halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. There were four other Shita Zakenim that were mentioned in Erevin that held like Rabbi Eliezer, who said to Amar, he's talking over there about the question of whether you can make two separate Erevin. One in direction, let's say, going to the east on the first day, and the other going west on the second day, which you certainly cannot do on one day. So there, Rav Paskins, that the Shtei Kedushas. We don't look at Shabbos and Yom Tov as being one long Kedusha. So why can we make two separate Erevin and not give it two separate Dinim for Beit Shenolda? Ella. Of course, if Rav Paskins that way in Erevin, it must therefore be that Rav also agrees that Shtei Kedushas. The Rabba can be forgiven. The question over here is that Rav is Achanad Rabba. Rav holds of Achanad Rabba, and therefore he is answering the Beit Zayvon on the second day because it is not considered to be Muchan from a Yom Chol. Even though we said earlier, and Tosis points this out, even though we said earlier that Rabba holds that any Beit that is Nolda today was actually completed the day before. The day before is indeed Chol. And nonetheless, the actual event of hatching, which takes place on the day of Kodesh, is certainly a chone for the next day, because without it, wouldn't do me much good to have completed it inside the mother. And therefore, it would mean that the second day is the day in which the first day prepared, which was not a Yom Chol. And that's the reason that he asks, and not because it's all one long Kedusha. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Achanat Rabbah, since the problem isn't Achanat Rabbah, and it's two separate Kedushas, so even Beis Hillel therefore would agree that the Beitza, despite its being Asur on the first day, is Mutar on the second day. Now, it would appear that the Machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan about whether 2 days of Kedusha, Shabbos, Yontav, Yontav, Shabbos, Asur is also on the second day, is actually an old Machlokas Tanoim, because in the Braisa it says, no, the B'Shabbos, Te'achel, B'Yontav, no, the Yom Tov Te'achel B'Shabbos. So in other words, whenever comes first is irrelevant. If the first day an egg is hatched when it's Asur, it can nonetheless be eaten on the second day. And whether it's Shabbos to Yom Tov, Yom Tov to Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Yudah and Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, not true. Adayini Machlokas, the Machlokas being our Machlokas in the Mishnah. Pichamay Omrim Te'achel, Pitim Lelam Rim Lo Te'achel. And this is essentially the Machlokas in the Mishnah. It doesn't matter whether it's 2 days, whether it's 1 day. Now, Ushbezichne, the Ushbezichne means always the person that You know, they used to eat kest in Europe. Somebody would be taking care of Yeshiva Bachar. Each day they had somebody taking care of Yeshiva Bachar. The Yerush Bezichne was the one in whose home the individual lived. In this case, Rav Ada Bar Ava had an Yerush Bezichne, and he came to him with a problem. Avali Hanav Beitzim Yom Tov Shabbos, and he had this exact case. He had Beitzim that had been laid on Yom Tov, to came right before Shabbos. So Atal Akame, he comes in front of Rav Ada Bar Ava to ask him, am I allowed to now, can I cook up these eggs now? Even though I know today's Yantav, I'm not allowed to eat them because the Pesach Shalom Yantav. All I want to do is cook them now so that I should be able to eat them tomorrow. I don't want to have them raw tomorrow. So in other words, his Balabaya takes for granted that the Beitzim are definitely mutter to be eaten tomorrow. You know, the question only was, is there a problem of picking them up in order to prepare them for tomorrow? Or maybe you're not even allowed to carry them, and therefore, how am I going to cook them up? That was what he was thinking. Well, Marlezer Rav Ada Bar Ava said to him, hold your horses. My datech, wait. You're taking for granted that tomorrow the Beit says mutter. Why are you taking it for granted? Obviously, because you're thinking that since this is a machlok, it's Rav Rav Yochanan, and according to Rav Yochanan, if it was nulled on the first day, it's mutteris on the second day. So the general rule is that wherever there's a machlok, it's Rav Rav Yochanan, and Loch Rav Yochanan, right? That's what you're figuring. So it's definitely mutter on the second day. Your only question is whether it can be cooked. You got to know that. Afilu Rav Yochanan, Loch Kashar de Legum. Rav Yochanan was only matir to drink the egg, eat the egg raw. That was Lemocha. Avla Biyume. Look, the day on which it was hashed on Yantev, he asked even carrying it, and therefore there's no possible way for you to go ahead to prepare it for tomorrow anyway. The Atanian, indeed, it says this perish in the Brisa. Achad pitzashin on Dabi Shabbat, achad pitzashin on Dabi Yom Tov, in betatalim ota lola chasod betakliv lo tzimol bokrayamita. Remember that it says beferish you're not allowed to carry a beitza for using it as a cover for your bottle, or for its most important usage, to support the legs of your bed. Therefore, how in the world would you go about cooking it if you can't even handle it? Now, there was another ma'aser, Ushpazichne to Rav Papa, or some say it wasn't his Ushpazichne, some say Hamileahu Gavra, some say it was just Stam, a person that came along to ask him a question, Atal Akami to Rav Papa, Havlianach Beitzim Shabbos Yantav. So he had some eggs that had been laid on a Shabbos right before Yantav. Atal Akami, he comes to ask Rav Papa, Lemi Ma'ala Michlir Lamachar, would I be allowed to eat these eggs tomorrow? Meaning that essentially he was asking him, is the halacha like Rav, or is the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan? Omar Lai, so he said to him, Zil ha'idna, go now, v'tala macha, come back tomorrow. Why do I want you to come back tomorrow? The Rav lo muki, amira eloyim yumatava l'chavre, because Rav, if he had a meal, and during the course of his meal, I mean, normally he would drink wine, that was the beverage. So he would not get up to say his drasha, which he passed in halachas b'yumetav l'chavre. After the Siddur Yontev, until the same time tomorrow, he would wait and for the wine to completely wear off. And if that's the case, I'm afraid to tell you halacha l'maisa. Shum shichus. The Torah tells us that the iser of shichus, of coming in to the Beis HaMikdash, is l'havdil b'na tamei b'na tahor, which includes horayah, to give over halacha l'maisa. So come back tomorrow. Kiyata, they came back the next day, the Macha. On my letter of Papa said to me, there was a question of exactly what it is that you're allowed to be dared. In other words, certainly if you're not darshaning halacha l'maisa, there would be no problem. And even if it was in the morning of the next day, it would be mutter really to give over and so forth. But certainly not now. Kiyata l'macha comes back the next day. On my letter of Papa tells him, oh man, just by asking my teacher, if I had gone ahead and done it and told you what I thought at the time, ishtaloi, I would have made a terrible mistake, and I would have told you that it's mutter. I would have said to you, Amri lecha, Rav Rav Yochanan, lochik Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan holds it's mutter, nolta bezeh, mutter bezeh, and I would have forgotten. Thank heavens, now I remembered. Oh, my Rav, Yochanan, kavose, the Rav, bahani plas, beinukul, beinukun. But actually, there's an exception to the rule. The exception of the rule is in these three shilas that were raised in this issue about what were the three shilas, as we'll see. One was beitza from Shabbos to Yantav, Yantav to Shabbos. Later on, we'll see that there was a variation on this theme of what the din was of a beitza on the 2 days of Yantav where you're living chutz laretz. And the third variant was the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the first and the last Rav Paskin's Lachumra. The middle case of the 2 days of Yatim and Chutzlar, it's already Paskin and Kula, the Nelda Bezez Muteres Bezez. So it's a good thing I didn't tell you yesterday, because in this particular case, Aloch is like Rav, and therefore here, the Shabbos and Yontov that are next to each other, the Beit Shinol, the Bezez, Asur Bezez, exactly as Rav said. Om Rav Yochanan. Om Rav Yochanan. Etzim shenashru min adekel b'Shabbos, osu lasikon b'Yontov. Rav Yochanan now introduces something that is similar to what we've been discussing, and yet different. And that's what's interesting about it, is how to define this difference. Here he talks about wood that fell off from a connected tree on Shabbos, similar to a Beit HaShenolta. Asrulas, it can be Yontev. Interestingly, if the next day is Yontev, you can't use it to light your fire with. Now, of course, this seems to be, on the surface, a contradiction to what Rav Yochanan himself just said about Beitza. So he says, Al tashiveni Beitza, don't ask on me from the fact that I was matir Beitza Shenolta b'Shabbos to eat it on the next day, which is Yontev. Because there's a good reason to be more machmir on the case of the tree and the wood than there is on the Beitza. My time of why? Because Beitza, mishum de miyumanami chozele guma goyma veloka shari layad lamachar. Look, I mean, everybody knows this. There's certainly nothing to prevent me from eating this egg today, except for the fact that there must be something wrong. La halacha, midi adi adabas yuma asrua. Must be that the Chachomim said that there's a problem of a Beit HaShenol de b'yomtev. But Eitzim, if the problem is like this, Eitzim cannot be used on Shabbos, because you can't light the fire on Shabbos. Lo chozele yume. So now, if let's say we come along and we're matir them, yisharlu lamacha, suppose we'll allow them to light it on the next day. So what will they think? Ati, their assumption will be, Ati lameimar, they will assume that actually, b'yumayonam yishari, the truth was that if they had fallen off on Yontev, they would have been completely mutter. If yesterday was Yontev, the only problem is yesterday wasn't Yontev, yesterday was Shabbos. Since it's Shabbos, obviously we can't burn wood on Shabbos. But that's the only reason that we couldn't. So b'yumayonam yishari. Next time they fall off on a Yontev, they'll say, well, I mean, there's no problem. We can use them, because after all, etmol, the only reason that we didn't use them yesterday, if etmol is mishum Shabbos, because it was only because you can't light things on Shabbos. Therefore, even though Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Achona de Rabba, he nonetheless asked using his etzim, because he's afraid that you may come to use etzim that actually fall off on a yontif directly. Omer of Masna, another din of Eitzim Shinashru, is Eitzim Shinashru min adekel l'tocha tanur. Suppose they fall directly on Yontif from the tree into the oven. Can I light them? Well, marbe aleim, you can actually use now wood that you had set aside to burn, put in other wood, be marbe Eitzim Muchanim, that are not muktzim. Now you can burn the whole thing together, the fresh wood that just fall off the tree, together with the wood that you had prepared for burning. Ask the Gemara, how could you do that? When you move them around in the oven, you're going to be, by definition, I mean, you're constantly poking the fire there to get it going and to keep it burning and so on. You're going to be moving eitzim that are mukta. That's not a problem, says the Gemara. Given the ruba that there, you know, since I had mostly eitzim of heter, so that means I was now mevatel them, because even the yisr becomes now the equivalent of heter. And as I'm moving these things, I'm moving basically heter, and not iser. So obviously we have the problem of if it's nikar, we talked about this in Sukkot, if it's nikar, then yeah, I can see it, it's not really a taruvis, and the Ran indeed points out the tafka, if you can't pick out the branches that are fresh now that fell in, but if you can count, how can you use bittel on something that is actually nikar? But not everybody agrees with this. We talked about this at length in Sukkah with the Shtrach of Heter and Eviser. Now, another question that we have on this halacha that you're allowed to add wood that's not mukta is v'akom avatel yisrael l'chatchila. Isn't there a general rule that when something is usr, you can't just mix it with things that are mutter and rely on that for bittel? Your bittel is only when it happened on its own. But you're not allowed to go and create a situation of bittel. But that's called mevatel yisrael l'chatchila. If it's not a mevatel yisrael l'chatchila, it says beferish that you're not allowed to be mevatel is lechatchila. The truth is, it doesn't really say those words, which is interesting. The Rash points this out, Gufa on the Mishnah, in Trumas, but nonetheless, it says over there that the case, and if it were a saw of Truma, fell into less than 100 to 1, which is what you need in order to be mevatel of a chulin. So if more chulin falls in accidentally, so then it becomes mutter. But if you did it on purpose, it remains also. There's a knas. So you see from there, mevatel yisrael chatchila. Answers the Gemara, when do we say mevatel yisrael chatchila hani mili b'diraisa? That's the case over there in the Mishnah Truma is talking about an isur d'oraisa. I'm allowed to eat truma if you're yisrael avu b'drabbanan mevatel. When it comes to etzim shenoshu, which is only isur muktzah, which is an isur d'rabbanan, you can be mevatel even lechatchila. Says the Gemara, but what about according to Rav Ashi? You just said an omen aleph that called Rav Ashi Yeshua Matirin. I feel a bit rabban and lobotel. There's another problem over here. Since these eitzim will be mutter to use tomorrow, they should never be bottle ever. Like until tomorrow. You wait until tomorrow. That's the official material. Michael Amema says the Gemara, Hani mili echadit li surveini. Where did Rabashi say that? That you have to wait till tomorrow because of the official material. That's dafke if it's pe'en. It is the way it is. Vashenkin hacha mikla kol yisur over here. The isur is gufa burnt up. And therefore, the isur not being pe'en is not a problem. We can be mevatel over here, berov, and we don't say that it's a dover sheyesh lo matirin. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah explains this to mean that since at the time that you're being nene from the bittel, the eitzim has a din of soruf. So memela, there's no problem of dover sheyesh lo matirin. But that's his approach. There are others who say that wherever the end result is that the Isser is going to be burned. You don't have to be machmer on the Davash Yishul Matir. Fine. This is now the next case where Rava said before that we pass like Rav. So the first case we had was Shabbos and Yontif. That was Buchmadad. Yitva. The second case is Shnei Yomim Tevim Shagolias. You have 2 days of Yontif and Golias. The question is, Nol de Bezeh is a Mutter Bezeh. So says Rav, in this case I made it. And no, the bezeh is mutar's bezeh because of a year, you're only making the 2 days because of a suffix. One of them is chol, so one of them is chol. So if the first day is chol, so it was an older bechol, and the day before that was chol also. So what's the problem of the hakana? There's no hakana except I'm from a yom chol. And if the first day was kedesh, so you're saying ein Shabbos making very nice, but a chol doesn't need hakana. So on chol I should zichur be able to eat it. Rav Asi says an amazing thing that no de bezeh is asur bezeh, even though we have a suffix of bat yontif sheni, which should make it 1 day is definitely chol. And here we come close now to dealing with the crux of the issues of how to view and understand the nature of yontif sheni shogolias. So lema, the Gemara's first assumption is that Rav Asi holds that the two yomim tevim shogolias has a din of kedusha achas, even though in other words it was because of a suffix. But once the Chachamim were kaveya to make it 2 days, they were kaveya it as one long yontif. That's impossible because Rav Asi himself actually used to say Havdalah after the first day yontif. So in other words, it means that he held that the Chachamim were not kaveya as one long yontif. What in the world is he going around saying Havdalah for? That it's only because of the suffix. So he said, okay, so to be naik minig avotichen, who had a suffix to be naik. So if that's the case, so if we know that which day is really Yantav, we know one of the days is Chol Gomor, so why do we accept, okay, we're keeping it because Minig Avisinu B'Yadena, and that's the Takana that we should keep it in that way. But so then if that's the case, it's certainly not Kedusha Achas, so it's not one long Kedusha. You can't say Havdalah Minu one long Kedusha. Nonetheless, Rav Asi was being Machmir to say that it would be Asar on both days. What would the reason be? Answers the Gemara, Rav Asi is Fukim Esafkali. Actually, Rav Asi himself was misupik whether we should look at Yontav Sheni Shogolias as a takona of a long Yontav, in which case Leila Bezez Asur Bezez, and he would have to be Machmer. On the other hand, he wasn't sure. And he was thinking to himself, well, if you know Bikvias Chaydash, so then that means it's only a minik. So you can't say that it's Yontav Oroi, and if it's not a Yontav Oroi, so in that case, there would be actually a need to say Abdullah because of that suffix. He was actually Machmer in both directions, and he said Abdullah also. Zera says it's reasonable that the halacha should follow Ravasi, and Beit Hashem know that Bezez Asura Bezez even Yad Shneim Tem Shal Kolis. Why? Because look at the little reality. It's not true that everybody knows what day is the real Yontav nowadays. And nonetheless, Vikav Dina and Treyumi. Nonetheless, we keep 2 days. Must be that Chazal Urkoved was a long day. I'm Rabbi Zer, on the contrary, I was the Rav Mistavra. It's more reasonable to say that it's not 1 day. It's not. It says in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Berishona Hayu Masin Masuras. It used to be, let's say, if Yom Shloshim of the month, Adam came and we were kaveid as Rosh Chodesh. So Yom Masin Masuras, they would light fires like in the Lord of the Rings, from one top of one mountain to the next mountain, and that way people could find out at great distances that when it was Yantav. So there was no problem with Yantav Sheni. However, Yishakil Kulakusim, when the Minim came along to destroy the Mayadim, so over there, because it used to be that they would only light the candle if it was Kodesh on the 30th day. If not, they wouldn't light the bonfires. And if not, they wouldn't light. So if it happened that, as we'll see in Rosh Hashanah, that Bezdin, were Ma'abed the Chedesh, it should be not Rish Chedesh today, and therefore they didn't light. And the Kusim went ahead and they lit, which made everybody think that Rish Chedesh was actually the day before. There's no way to control that. So because of that, Itkinush Shluchim Yotzim. They made a takana, they should send out runners, and wherever the Shluchim can reach, within the 15 days from the beginning of the month until the Mayit, for Pesach and for Sukkis, so they would make 1 day Yontav. In further places, they would make 2 days. So Abaya says, now, consider the implications of this. Let's say we could get rid of the Kutim. Now we could go back to lighting these torches. Maybe we could even discover some new inventions. So now Dino Chad Yuma would be back to where we were. All places would be able to have 1 day Yontav. So if that's the case, furthermore, I mean, even nowadays, we don't have Masiyim B'Sveis. But after the Matur Shluchim, wherever the riders would come, of the Chad Yuma. So how would they make it dependent on this? It must be that it has to do with the reality, and not with a general takana and bezin. You should always keep 2 days. I mean, certainly not going to say that the Chachamim or Koveya always make 2 days, except make those 2 days dependent whether you're in a place where the Shluchim come. The Shluchim never came, because the Shluchim obviously would not be able to come to the same place every single day. Depend on a lot of factors, including when Shabbos falls out and so on. So that means that there were places. One year, they would do 2 Yomim Tovim, and 1 year, they would only do 1 Yom Tov. So that means that they left it open to the reality. I mean, it's not a takana to make 1 long day. So now, explain some more what's a very pointing out. That hashtag yadina mekivir yarch. So now we know exactly that there's what the halacha is. So my time of dinner tray, you may, if we know exactly when it is, we should be the same as they were in places where the shluchim came. So the reason is mishum deshalchu mitam. The reason is because they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael. Yizaru b'minig avisechem yadeche. So continue to be no yom tov sheni. Why? The zimni the gazo malchus gezerah. Who knows if the day won't come where they'll be gezer against learning Torah in Yisrael. They will forget the way to be kiveya the chadashim and so on, and people will make mistakes, and they'll make a chedesh, mole, chaser, or machedesh, chaser, mole, and so on, in which case, I'll say, l'kakule. So then you'll end up being over on very chomeri sir. As Rashi points out, you'll be eating chametz for Pesach, could be an isakaris. The question, why he has to stress the isakaris, and what would be wrong with the problem of doing malach on yontif? And some want to relate this to Rashi Shita, that you only make a takana of this kind if it involves an Isr Chomer, like Koris. But if it involves a lav alone, so then we don't make a takana. It's a very interesting Shita of Rashi, in which this is Rashi Shita Yevamos, that you don't make a harchakaf unless it's an Isr Koris. And it's fascinating what would be the logic. I mean, some bring, the meaning is that the Ramban says in Chumash, explaining why there's no carbon on a shegeg of a lav, is that you don't need kapora, external kapora, from being over b'shogeg. But koris is a reality, which even if you're over b'shogeg, it needs to have a kapora. So because of that, we want to avoid your coming to it. So we'll make this harchoka. So therefore, we're afraid over you. You'll come to eating chametz pesach, which is a koris, and therefore we'll make harchoka. As they said, keep the 2 days. The third case, and we also have the machlokas, is the Shnei Yamim Tevim Shel Rosh Hashanah. And I think perhaps we'll wait until tomorrow to do that, because my voice seems to be running down completely. So sorry.